Have your Bibles, please. Stand with me if you would. And let's turn to the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 14. I just love the way the Spirit of God moves when all cylinders fire. Maybe I said that in the wrong church. I don't know. I just love the way that God moves when every cylinder is firing. Maybe I'm in another church. One more time. I just love the way God moves when every cylinder is firing. Amen. It's a beautiful thing to experience the presence of God. Better yet, to feel the power of God and to experience the mighty might of God. Amen. That's not my message. All right. Exodus chapter 14. Let's begin our reading. At verse number 10, Exodus chapter 14. That's where you, Pastor, let your lungs hang on. Begin at verse number 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And he said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken away us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we might serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Verse number 16. Here we are. God says, but lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground throughout the midst of the sea. Verse number 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. And he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. And when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The book of Luke, chapter 11. The book of Luke, chapter 11. This time, starting at verse number 24. Luke 11, verse 24. The Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and he finding none. He saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and he taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Jesus, we come to you in humility. We come to you today with a hunger in our hearts. God, talk to this people. Talk to every heart, every life, every soul. Help us, God, to open our ears to hear, God, and our hearts to receive what it is you have for us today. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor in that matchless, in that mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message I have titled, It's time to cross over. It's time to cross over. When stopping to take a look at the history of the people of Israel, as it was they who, after the death of Joseph in the book of Exodus chapter 1, were from that time enslaved by the Egyptians, up until that time of their being delivered at the hand of Moses and by the power of Almighty God. Biblical historians will record the fact of it being some 400 years of literal bondage, wherein the people of God remained as slaves. Look at your neighbor and say, slaves. Yeah, look at your other neighbor and tell them, slaves. The children of the people of God remained as slaves until the time of their exodus from Egypt, who then were they now on the way to the promised land. Did you say it? Slaves, right? Now comes the Exodus. Now comes Moses. Now comes the power of God. And now they're on their way to the promised land. 400 years of bondage. 400 years as a slave. I want you to know that the generations of God's people in and during such a time would have become a people who in their lives who would have known nothing else. Meaning that they were slaves. They were in bondage to a people who did not regard God. Nor were they a people who were even subject to, dependent upon, nor subordinate to God. And having been slaves to another people outside of God, it then would have been the Israelite people who in turn would have developed a slave mentality. I got a slave mentality, folks. Subservient in their actions. Obedient, submitted to the Egyptians. And thereby it would have been their attitudes, their outlook on life, as well as what the ingrained mindset. Let's just get direct. You're a slave, girl. You ain't nothing but slaves. You're not going to be nothing else but a slave. You're always going to be a slave to me. Subservient. Their actions. Submitted. What's your cow like that? I'm a slave. That's what he told me I was. Mommy told me all my life, growing up as a boy, as a girl, as a slave, you see. That was their mindset. It would have caused them in their lives to know nothing else outside of who and what they now had become. Could you imagine a young child as young as little Ashley, maybe Nolan and Savannah, you know, coming up to these young girls in the front and to these teenage boys and these older gentlemen today, even to us as the elders among every one of us. You're slave, you're slave, you're slave, you're slave, you're slave. I didn't know anything else. What's freedom? Sit down. What do you want? Can I please stand back up? Okay. I didn't know nothing. I was a slave. Now, when considering such a thought in my mind, I began to see that of a parallel between the experience that of the Israelite people in their day to what it is that many of us prior to our coming to God in our day, as it was likely we that of our own experience in like fashion were souls who were trapped under the bondage of sin. Though we appeared to be free on the outside, on the inside, it was we who were slaves to that of our addictions, to our dysfunction, as well as the overall effects of a life lived without God in sin. What we did in the world, we did because that's what we were brought up with. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We dressed like the world. We did what the world did. You know, I'm walking back and forth my platform because I'm free. No, I was not prior to Christ. I wasn't standing behind the prison doors or some metal bars in a jail cell somewhere. I walked around, but I was a slave. But again, in like fashion, it was you who, and it was we who in our lives, who got to the place where you were. We were sick of the chains of our bondage. I was stressed. Oh, man, does somebody have a light? No! Oh, I'm so angry right now. Oh, I'm going to go out and just get drunk. I'm going to go punch out the neighbor or something. No! I don't want to get drunk. I don't want to do that no more. I'm tired of that chain. A victim to what I've only learned and grown up to. Tired of the binding grip of the sin that was upon us. And what it was, it drove you. It drove you to the crossroad wherein you and your life once and for all desired to be free. There's a way. There's a hope. There is a promise. There's a way to get out of this. I will not remain like this. You're looking at a 59-year-old fogey who was a young man brought up in a world of all that I just talked about, alcohol, drugs, dysfunction, you name it, and then throw 10% more, not for tithe, but just to make it worse. And I said in my life, I will not live like this. I don't want to be like this. When I get older, I'm coming out of this. Guess what, honey? Until God set me free, I didn't. Why? That's all I knew. That's all I was. That's all I became. I was a slave. Sin. And so, it was you who in your heart begins to cry out, maybe to a God you didn't even know. I told my wife when we weren't even, maybe we were just married or we're about to get married. I said, I don't know nothing about this God stuff. How's that for religious words? I know nothing about this God stuff. Maybe you were crying out to God you didn't even know. Lord, I want to be free. Lord, if you're really out there, if you're up in heaven, I just want to get away from this life and lifestyle. And in light of your earnest desire, hear me now, with a repentant heart, seeking freedom and forgiveness in the midst of your adversity, it was God who opened up for you a chance for you to be free. It was God who offered to you his salvation plan and the opportunity, shall I say, for you to be able in your life to rise and walk in newness of life. Walk in new, be new. Don't do what you used to do. Go different ways. Act differently. People see you, your perception and everything about you different. And then as a result of your responding to God, you in a way were preparing to cross on over to that of your own Red Sea in order for you to be able to experience a freedom that you in your life never knew before. But this is where it will have been you who likened to the Israelite people who were about to cross over. They weren't going to cross over without them carrying in their life this slave mentality. Here we are. Here comes the Israelites, you know. And we look over there and we start getting scared. And we look at Moses. What do you think you're doing? And he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And he raises his rod and the seas part. And the beak of Moses goes, come on, go forth. And so we all start going. Hey, come on. Johnny, come here. Hurry up. Hey, look.
I can't go with you. I gotta go tell the taskmasters. They'll beat me. Never mind the tent. God is gonna set us free. But what about food? My provision? Where am I gonna eat tomorrow?
Goodness sake, God will provide for you.
But But who's going to take care of me?
Come on, man, let's just go. We're going to the promised land.
And that's where we went. And we crossed. And we looked at the walls of water. But here's a wilderness mentality. Here's the mindset of a slave. Here's that mindset of those that are stuck in their rut. Of who they were. Not what God was about to make them to become.
Amen.
Sad to say, this is where you, maybe as well as many others like you, are they who often are found with this mindset throughout their lives. God's people. Christians who are left to wander about without victory. What does that mean? Never seeming to be able to fully possess the promises that God who offered to them, to you, as a result of your personal Red Sea experience. Going down in the watery grave in baptism in Jesus' name, feeling forgiven. My sins now washed away. But you know, never experienced a complete freedom and liberty like no other in Christ. I just never experienced freedom like that before. In the book of Exodus chapter 14, we find the children of Israel who by the hand of Moses, having left Egypt, were now on their way to their freedom, but were holed up against the Red Sea. It was that critical juncture in their life that Moses, at the command of God, stretched out his staff and he over that Red Sea, and God, by his power, he parted those waters like walls on both sides. God allowed his people to cross the Red Sea on dry land. It was God who went so far as when they got across to have Moses raise his rod and destroy the enemy right in front of your eyes.
Amen, amen, amen.
I used to sit in his quadrant. He used to be my taskmaster. That guy back there who's drowning, God's destroying him. He used to beat me. I was afflicted, I was enslaved by them. Watch, they're gone. I is your God. I set you free from your addictions. I put in your hearts, your minds a calm in the place of your dysfunction. By my power, I've shown you what it is I can do in your lives, what it is I'm preparing to do with you in your life. But it's you who, once having experienced all of this in your life, repentant, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. It's you who must be the one to in turn cross on over. It's you who in turn must now determine in your life to leave Egypt behind. Think about it. The Israelites lived 400 years in bondage. God showed his might. God allowed them to take the spoil of the Egyptian people. God then led them through the sea. God allowed them to experience all of this. And the point I want to bring to you today is that it was they, the people who walked over onto the other side within their hearts and in their minds. It was they who did this, still carrying the Egypt mentality. I don't get it. You will. They carried with it. Could you imagine? Honey, it would shock me beyond my socks to watch water. It wasn't just a little lake, cutie. Over 2.5 million Jews walked across on dry land. But they walked through there with the wilderness mentality, an Egypt slave mentality. Well, hang on, okay? It's my go-to. You see, it's what I do when I'm under pressure, and it's all that I know. It's all that I knew before. Let's get more direct. Well, look what God did. The people's enemy destroyed, the promised land ahead of them. God, who after miracle, sign after sign, led the people at the hand of Moses, starting with the plagues, following by God providing manna. He gave them water in the desert as God sought to meet every one of your needs. In like fashion, here you are today. God set you free from the bondage of your addiction. God was the one who's being the one to fill you with his promise of the Holy Ghost. that power from within, that Spirit of Christ that empowers you like fire shut up in your bones. But could it be, saints of God, friends, today, that in your life, that it is, maybe it has been you who failed to being the one to cast aside that same crippling power that comes with an Egypt mentality. That Egypt mindset. Unable to let the world and the things of this world go. Unable to cast aside that which has had you and has imprisoned you for what's been maybe years. Many Christians today are they who now in their walk with God suffer, all because it's they who in their hearts who really had not crossed on over. You hear me? Who are the ones who haven't cast Egypt from their houses nor from their hearts. Those who still hang on to things, idols, addictions, etc., that in the end are they which prove to still hold you as a captive. To them, what it is under the power of the Holy Ghost Church and the Spirit of Almighty God, I've come to declare to you one and all is a fact that it's time for all of you, every one of you in this house today, in your walking with God in Christ, it's time for you in your life to now cross on over, to finally get Egypt, the Egypt mentality, and all that out of your life. You're not a slave. I was telling somebody before, right after Sunday morning, I'm not an alcoholic. I smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day. B.C., before Christ. I drank. I did drugs. I was dysfunctional. I cussed like a longshoreman before. But God came into my life, and I walked away from that life. I didn't have to sit amongst a bunch of people and say, "Hi, my name is John, and I'm an alcoholic." No, for he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You see, I am not a slave to my past. I'm a victor to my present and on to my future. So get Egypt, the Egypt mentality out of your life and finally surrender your life. This is what you need to do. Surrender your life, your all to God in order for God to once and for all allow you to enter into the abundant blessing that are found in the promised land. Daily, the Bible says, He loadeth us with benefits. You get up in the morning, the children of Israel, they I'm hungry. Well, what are we going to eat? I got no food. Well, wait till the morning. Okay, I'll go to, my tummy's growling. I go to bed, go to sleep, and in the morning, come on out here. Kids, honey, come on out. We got to gather up the manna. God fed them right in the wilderness. Oh, parched. I could barely breathe. I wish I had water. Moses, we want water. Water gushed out. God, I wish I had peace in my heart. I wish I could get my joy back. And then you come to church and you're kind of feeling full of anxiety and you're depressed and you're stressed out and you begin to worship God and you say, God, open up the heavens. Open them up, pour out your spiritual blessing and you respond to God and God responds to you. And the next day you get up for work and you are re-empowered. I want you to hear me today. Well, the Israelites were fleeing from Egypt. Well, it was God who was leading them. Even though God was doing miracle after miracle in their sight, it was their minds, their mindset that remained under the current power of Egyptian bondage. Why do you keep saying that? I want you to get it. They were still acting like slaves. Slaves instead of acting like people who were supposed to be on their way to becoming free. We don't have to walk into the church house beat. And I don't mean slapped around. I mean demoralized and feeling like we don't even belong here and it's not our place. This is a place where God dwells, where two or three are gathered together. He's in the midst with us here, and he's here to meet my needs, and he's here to answer my prayer, and he's here to renew me, restore me, refill me, and to give me all of those blessings. And I don't have to walk in here and think, well, I'm a privileged, underprivileged child of God. No, you're not. You're a child of the King. So instead of casting out of their minds the slave mindset, instead of taking a hold of what it is that was being promised to them by God, the people in their hearts decided to carry with them their Egypt. You know why? Well, just in case God fails. I've seen people do this, you know, women and men alike. They come to God and that's it. Everything's out in the garbage. The music, the clothing that didn't fit, that didn't identify with Christ, took it, threw it out. And then they got cold. And then you see them on the streets and you see them at the workplace and you listen to the way they talk and you look at them like, what happened to you? Just in case God fails me, I never threw out Egypt. I just put it in the cupboard drawer. And so I put it back on, and I turn it back on, and I paint my face maybe. I do whatever I got to do to look like what I used to, you know, in case God fails me. It's been said that you can take the man out of the country. Anybody hear that? But it's also said it's another thing to try to take the country out of the man. I was 22, thank God. I didn't go further. I was 22 when I came out of the wilderness. When God forgave me for my sins and they were washed away in baptism and he filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was 22 years old. But honey, let me tell you. How many of you would admit to the fact that it was maybe your wife, maybe it was your family, who knows? I was so addicted to a 38-inch remote control, screen-controlled device that my wife, we were so poor, we were poor as church mice. Actually, we couldn't even afford the mice back then. And so I bought like a little 12-inch by 10-inch by about 6-inch little fish tank. Got a couple of Tetras in there, blue light. And I'd plug in the radio and I'd listen to the news and watch it going back and forth. I was going nuts. I wanted my remote control and that box that came with it. And then it gets worse. Did they all left? Did they leave? Okay, I'm glad you're still here. It got worse. I'm going nuts! I can't smoke no more. I don't do that. What are you? You got to help me, honey. You got to help me, I said. Honey, you got to do something for me. You know what she did? She drew pictures for me to color. I'm 22 years old and I'm coloring pictures. Why? Because I'm used to having things in my mouth, doing things with my hand. Oh, goodness, got worse. Ready? Got worse. 2 o'clock in the morning. Honey, I feel like carrot cake. Make me some carrot cake. Make me an apple pie. Do something. And I went from 128 pounds to 160 like that in 6 months. What was wrong with you, bro? My mentality, you see? God brought me to the other side, but I still have this mentality. I have to have what I used to have. No, you don't. Things that enslave you, the things that entrapped you, the bondage that God in his love desires to get you out from under in your life, away from, are still the things that you, maybe for whatever reason, choose not to let go of, even in the face of the promises when you do. God says, you do this, my promised land is just ahead. What's in your hand? Why are you being so judgmental? Why are y'all looking at me like that? Listen, let go of it. Now? No. Well, put it down then. Get your hand off it. No. Right ahead of you is the promise. Come on, God says, get it out of your house. Get it out of your heart. Don't touch it. Throw it away. Remove Egypt from that option. Get that option out of your life. Take a hold of what I, as your God, am offering to you instead. Hebrews 11:6. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, the scripture, I believe, says to you and I is this. Walking through the Red Sea, yeah, it took faith. Anybody want to get any takers? You know, we'll walk down to Williams Lake and I'll ask God to part it. Maybe we'll just get duck shoes and we'll kind of walk across it. We'll try anyhow. I took faith. You all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. That would have took faith. All right, honey. At the moment's notice, if this water starts moving back, I'll grab you and the kids and we're running for our lives. It took faith. All right? But that was what was waiting for them. Catch this. What was waiting for them, what's waiting for you on the other side of Egypt, was worth walking through to get it. Repenting in your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue, is what gets you on your way. Amen. Not there. For even with God doing all this in your life, it's you who still must be the one, who needs to be the one to do whatever it is you got to do beyond that in order for you to make it still to the promised land. Get it out, throw it down, take it off, change it, don't do it, plug it up, don't go there, stop that, change this. And you and your life from that point on have now got to be the one to cross on over. You and your wife are going to want to cross on over. How, Pastor? By submitting your life, by submitting your heart, by getting Egypt and all that was in your old life of your slavery out of your house, your heart, by Egypt's clothing, Egypt's articles. You know what identified you with the world, what it was that showed all that were before you, the marks of a slave. A slave to your passions, a slave to your self-indulgence, to your pride. Now it's you in your life must be the one to seek to identify with Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. How? By being the one to literally, who the one is crossing on over in your desire now to live your life for God. Until it's you who eradicates, who eliminates, who destroys, who removes, until it's you who gets rid of, out, who wipes out, who pulls up by the roots Egypt from your life. You, my friend, will never be able to fully experience what it's like for you to bask in the bountiful blessings of God. Not only while you're walking through your wilderness, changing shoes, changing direction, but all the way on to the promised land. I drop it one piece at a time. I get rid of that mentality. And who are you? Whose family are you? Well, who's your dad? My dad? Oh, they call him the Rose of Sharon. Yeah? He's a bright morning star. My dad owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Well, how can you drive a used vehicle? I'm a king's kid. What are you doing here? I'm here to listen. I'm here to grow closer to him. I'm here to learn what he wants. If I totally, but hang on, okay, I'm going to give you an out. No. If I totally remove Egypt from my world, my home, and my heart, from my life, what is it then I can turn to? What am I going to be able to fall back upon? I get rid of it all. Well, what am I going to do? Now, what will I fall upon? I'll tell you. You fall upon God. That's who. You and your heart now need to, and you must turn not back to the world and definitely not back to your Egypt experience, that bondage to sin. You got to turn to God. Well, I'm hungry. Ask God in prayer. I need healing. Turn to God. I need something. I need manna. Open the Word. I need to do something. But we'll pray and come to church and let the Word of God sink in your heart and your soul and your life. Question. How is it that God can help me in every situation in my life when many a time I can't help myself? Here's your answer, brother. Jeremiah 29:11-13. How can God help me when I can't help myself? Bring it up. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me and I'll hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That's how he'll help you when you can't help yourself. Let me throw out for you a disclaimer from the world. The world never left you or leaves you with any promises at all. All of your identifying factors from Egypt, your slavery, all it is that in this world, they never really offered you any help. And to you, yet now, it's just you who in your life, it's just you being offered freedom, the opportunity of one day crossing on over and casting your crown at Jesus' feet in glory. Still, for whatever reason, some of you today refuse to let go, to cast aside your Egypt and the world. It's my go-to. Get out of it. Throw it away. Let's take a turn. Just think about it. I want you to think about this. Watch these words. Listen. Think about what it is that's been hindering you in light of your receiving all of God's promises. Is it anxiety, fear, sin, the spirit of doubt, Egypt in your house, the spirit of Egypt in your heart, your refusal to let go of the old life, the old world, in order to experience the new? What's been hindering you? What's causing you setback? How come you can't seem to get from here to there? Book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, the writer writes, "And I'll restore unto you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the pommel worm have destroyed." I want you to hear me today. It's God, friends, who be the one who continue to allow you in your life to both drift and to wander in that of your wilderness mentality and spirit until such a time when it's you who finally decides to cross on over, leaving the world and Egypt behind you forever. Goodbye, world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. See, in Moses' day, it was an entire generation of people who lost out, not just because they believed in evil report, but I believe that it was because it was they who refused to let go of the spirit and the mentality that would have, and that which now and would forever hinder them from crossing over. They wouldn't let go of Egypt. Well, if I live for God, oh, I have to do this, I got to do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. Oh, you know what? I think it's totally, it's horrible. I tell you, I appeal to you today. Why can't good loving Christians just not die of cirrhosis of the liver and cancer of the lungs? And why can't they be all hooked up to machines like everybody else? We all have the same rights, you know. Well, why can't we end up in a detox for life? Maybe die, you know, in a drunken car accident. Why are we being deprived of such things like that? Just living for God. Why did God put your family back together? How come God's keeping your family together? That's not fair. You got to get divorces and separate and break up and be locked up in shelters and your kids taken away by the services like everybody else. Why should you have to be deprived of such goodness? Are you kidding? The people of Moses' day became vain in their hearts, and in their rebellion and their ways, their lack of obedience, they in turn lost out with what was meant to be theirs. And in fashion, I wonder today, could it be what it is that stands in the way of you, what it is hindering you? I need to decide today. You know what today I'm going to do? I want to cross on over. I want to get to the other side. I'm here. Here comes the enemy. You know what the world does? I'm almost done. I won't keep you all day. Don't get too distracted, kids. Pay attention. You're going to miss something that's going to be worth your life. Here comes the enemy, the world. Anybody foolish, I won't use a bad word that starts with an S for stupid. I've said it anyhow. Anybody foolish to believe that the world won't come back after you when you leave it? Uh-huh. Hey, come on. Remember? Good time. Yeah, oh, yeah, man. Great time. Man, why'd everybody leave? My wife and the kids are gone. Oh, man, good time. You ever think the world's going to leave you alone and not try to follow you? Okay, maybe I'm being too personal. This day, I believe it's the people. We as a people are standing on the threshold of what could be the greatest end time revival and the influx of souls that we'd ever hope to see. But with all of what I've always said, have said already to now, it's I too believe it's God's looking down upon we as his people, and he wants to find out from us first, are we willing in our hearts, our minds, to let go of that mentality of Egypt in order to cross on over, to get Egypt as far away from you as you can, to prepare and ready yourself to cross on over, to let go of the go-tos, the ways of Egypt, the world, and to seek God's will for your life in order for God to be the one to be able to deliver you. Come. Are you ready? I hope I haven't lost you. This is called preaching. I want the world and I want God. A house divided against itself won't stand. You can't love God and then mammon. I can't chase the buck. And then the Holy Ghost. I got to seek him first. Before you leave this place today, I'm talking to everybody. I don't care where you are in God. Guess what? Egypt. Many a times, until you finally get there, Egypt's going to tinkle, tinkle that little bell and go like this. Come on back. You know what you're missing? Oh, you're such a deprived child. I can't believe God does that to you. Well, what did he do? He fills you with his Holy Ghost. He takes away your sin, dumps all your addictions, gives you peace and joy within. Oh, my goodness, what a horrible God. Why would you do that to me? He answers your prayer. He meets your need. I can't believe he'd do that to me, really. God. Before you leave this place today, one last time, I want everybody, I want you to stop in your minds to consider what you just heard, and I want you to stop long enough to listen, to let God speak to you in order for God to be the one to bring you an awareness of what it is that maybe has been stopping you and hindering you in your life from fully experiencing God's promised land. Let's stand. Today's the day that all of us in our hearts and minds truly need to be the ones who decide once and for all, I am crossing on over. I'm going from Egypt and slavery. I'm walking through that Red Sea and I'm heading to the promised land. And as I go, drop it. Let it go. Put it down. Stop doing that. Don't go there. Don't allow that money. I'm not doing that no more. How about it today? Are you ready?
Thank you.
All what you just heard, are you ready? You're willing to hearken to the voice of God as God speaks to you through the voice of the shepherd? Determine in your life today to cross on over. You will not regret the fact of leaving your Egypt behind. You will not regret
Thank
the fact
Lord,
of what God has waiting
Lord.
For you in the promised land.
Oh, we are marching into battle.
This altar is open.